The most dangerous place you can live is inside a negative mind. If you keep thinking the same way, you'll keep feeling the same way, and that's why most people stay stuck. They wake up with doubts, go through the day with fear, and fall asleep feeling defeated. It's not bad luck, it's untrained thinking. Your thoughts are either helping you or hurting you, there's no in-between. This audiobook, Stop Negative Thoughts Forever, The Quick Fix, is your turning point. You're going to learn how to break the cycle of overthinking, silence the inner noise, and finally take control of your mind. This isn't about hype or motivation. It's about giving your brain the reset it needs to think clearly and feel better every single day. If your own thoughts are holding you back, this is where you stop that pattern for good. No fluff, no guesswork, just real change. Stay with this. You need to hear it all. Chapter 1. Stop believing every thought your mind throws at you. Stop believing every thought your mind throws at you. That is the first step if you truly want to stop negative thoughts forever. You see, the human mind is powerful, but it is also noisy. It throws out thousands of thoughts every single day. Some of them are useful, but many of them are doubts, fears, and reminders of mistakes you made years ago. The trouble is, most people believe every single one of these thoughts as if each one carries absolute truth. That is why so many people stay stuck. They accept every voice in their head without question. But real change begins when you understand that a thought is only a thought. It is not always reality. It is not always the truth. And it is not always worth your time or your trust. Think about it. If a stranger walked up to you and whispered something cruel or untrue, would you immediately accept it? Of course not. You would question it. You might even walk away from it. Yet when your mind does the same thing, whispering that you are not good enough, or that you will fail, or that you cannot change, most people nod their head and go along with it. That is the problem. And if you want the quick fix, if you want to free yourself from the control of negative thoughts, you must learn to stop believing everything that pops into your head. Every single day, the mind throws out thoughts based on your past, based on your fears, and based on what you allow into it. If you consume negativity, your mind will throw out more negativity. If you have been repeating the same self-doubt for years, your mind will keep repeating it. But here is the truth you need to remember. The mind's job is not always to give you accurate guidance. Sometimes its job is to keep you safe. Sometimes it is trying to protect you from risk. Sometimes it is simply repeating old patterns. And if you do not take control, those thoughts will direct your life without your permission. Now, how do you actually stop believing every thought? The first step is awareness. Begin to notice what is going on in your head. When a thought comes, slow down for a moment and ask, "Is this true? Does this thought help me grow, or does it push me down?" Too many people live on autopilot, believing every idea that crosses their mind. But once you start questioning, you take back the power. You begin to separate yourself from the endless noise of your thoughts. The second step is to treat thoughts like suggestions, not commands. If you have a thought that says you are not capable, recognize it as a suggestion, not a fact. If you have a thought that says you will fail, see it as an opinion, not a prophecy. The difference is powerful. When you treat your thoughts as suggestions, you can choose which ones to follow. You can accept the thoughts that build you up and reject the ones that break you down. The third step is to create new thoughts on purpose. If your mind throws out a negative one, counter it with a positive one. For example, if you catch yourself thinking, "I always fail," stop and say, "I am learning and I can improve." If the thought is, "I'm not smart enough," replace it with, "I can grow smarter every day." This is not about pretending. It is about reminding yourself that you are not a prisoner of whatever your mind throws at you. I know some people will say, "But Jim, the thoughts feel so real." Yes, they feel real because they come with emotions. The body reacts. You feel tight in your chest when you think you are not enough. You feel anxious when you think about failing. You feel tired when you think life is too hard. But remember, feelings are triggered by thoughts. If you change the thought, you change the feeling. This is why you must stop believing every thought. Because not every thought deserves to shape your emotions or your actions. Let me give you a clear example. Imagine you have a big goal: starting a business, improving your health, or speaking in front of others. The moment you think about it, a thought might pop up. You're not ready. If you believe it, you feel fear. You hesitate, you give up. But if you say, "That's just a thought, not the truth," and replace it with, "I can prepare and take one step today," suddenly your emotion shifts, your action changes, and your life moves forward. This is the power of refusing to believe every thought. Now, many people ask, "How do I know which thoughts to trust?" Here is the simple test. Trust the thoughts that move you closer to your goals, closer to your values, closer to the person you want to become. Reject the thoughts that keep you stuck in fear, regret, or doubt. It is that simple. You know deep down which thoughts serve you and which ones keep you trapped. Another key step is to change what you feed your mind. Negative thoughts do not come from nowhere. They grow from what you watch, what you listen to, and who you spend time with. If you fill your day with constant negativity, your mind will reflect it back to you. But if you fill your mind with learning, with positive voices, and with inspiring people, your thoughts will begin to change. The mind can only throw at you what you give it. So, make the choice to feed it better. It is also important to write your thoughts down. When you see them on paper, you can analyze them more clearly. You might write, "I can't succeed." Then look at it and ask, "Is this always true? Is there evidence against it? What would happen if I acted anyway?" Writing creates distance. It shows you that a thought is just a sentence, not a reality. That simple step can break the grip of negativity. You must also understand the cost of believing every thought. Think about how many dreams have died because someone believed the thought that they were not good enough. Think about how many opportunities were lost because someone believed the thought that they might fail. Think about how many relationships were destroyed because someone believed the thought that they were unworthy of love. The cost is enormous. But the fix begins right here, with you, deciding that you will no longer believe every random thought that comes into your mind. And let me tell you, once you practice this, your life begins to change quickly. You will still have negative thoughts, but they will not control you. They will appear, and you will see them for what they are: just noise, just old programming, just passing signals. And you will have the power to choose differently. You will notice yourself feeling calmer, more confident, and more in control. But it takes practice. You cannot do this once and expect your life to change forever. This is daily work. Every day, your mind will throw thousands of thoughts at you. Your job is to filter them. Your job is to take responsibility for which ones you accept. Your job is to remind yourself, "Not every thought is worth my trust." So, here is what I encourage you to do. Today, pay attention. Notice when a thought comes that makes you feel weak, afraid, or unworthy. Pause. Question it. Ask, "Do I want to believe this? Does this move me forward?" If the answer is no, release it. Then, replace it with something that builds you. This is the quick fix. It is not about stopping all thoughts. It is about learning to choose the ones that deserve to stay. And when you do this long enough, your mind learns. It learns that you will no longer fall for every negative voice. It learns that you are in charge, and soon the negative thoughts lose their power. They show up less often, and when they do, they pass quickly. You have trained your mind to work for you, not against you. This is the first key to stopping negative thoughts forever. Stop believing every thought your mind throws at you. Take back the power. Take back the control. Decide today that your life will not be dictated by fear, doubt, or lies. Decide that your thoughts must earn the right to guide you. Decide that only the thoughts that strengthen you, build you, and push you forward will have a place in your mind. Do this, and your life will change in ways you cannot imagine. Because at the end of the day, your thoughts are the foundation of your life. If you want to stop negative thoughts forever, start by refusing to believe the ones that do not serve you. That is the quick fix, and it is available to you right now. The moment you choose it, you begin a new chapter, a chapter of clarity, strength, and progress. And that is the life you deserve. Chapter 2. Question the story your negative thoughts keep repeating. Question the story your negative thoughts keep repeating. That is the next step if you want to stop negative thoughts forever. Negative thinking is not random. It usually comes back to the same stories your mind has been telling you for years. These stories form patterns, and once they take hold, they become the background music of your life. They might sound like this: I'm not good enough. I never get things right. Nothing ever works out for me. Or, I don't deserve happiness. These thoughts may show up in different situations, but if you look closely, they are really the same old story replaying itself over and over again. And the problem is, when you never question these stories, you start living your life as if they are true. The mind is like a recorder. It picks up experiences, words people have said to you, and moments where you felt pain or rejection. Then, instead of letting those experiences go, it keeps replaying them like a broken record. You can be doing something new today, but the mind brings up an old memory from years ago and tells you, "See, this is why you'll fail again." Without questioning, you accept it. But here is the truth. Those stories are not reality. They are just interpretations. They are built from moments in the past when you were less experienced, less aware, and less prepared. Yet, your mind keeps bringing them into the present as if nothing has changed. If you want to break this cycle, you must stop being a passive listener. You must become an active questioner. Every time a negative story shows up, pause and examine it. Ask yourself, is this story true today? Does it reflect who I am now, or is it just a memory of who I used to be? Often you will see that the story has no connection to your current ability or current situation. It is just an old script that your mind hasn't updated. Think about how damaging these repeated stories can be. If you believe, "I'm not good enough," every opportunity feels like a threat. If you believe, "I always fail," you won't even try. If you believe, "No one respects me," you walk into every room feeling small, even when no one is judging you. These beliefs create your emotions, and your emotions influence your actions. Before long, the repeated stories are not just thoughts in your head, they are shaping your entire life. That is why questioning them is so important, because when you question them, you break their grip. Now, how do you question these stories in a practical way? First, recognize the specific story your mind keeps telling. Name it clearly. Instead of just saying, "I feel bad," identify it. This is the story that says, "I'm not capable." Once you name it, it becomes easier to challenge. Then, ask yourself a series of questions. Where did this story come from? Who first told me this? Was it a teacher, a parent, a friend, or myself? And were they right? Many times, you will discover the story started from one single experience or from words spoken by someone who was frustrated, angry, or limited themselves. Yet your mind carried those words like permanent truth. By identifying the source, you weaken its authority. Second, look for evidence against the story. The mind has a habit of collecting only the moments that fit the negative narrative. If your story is, "I always fail," your mind will highlight every mistake and ignore every success. But if you take a pen and write down the times you succeeded, you will see that the story is false. If your story is, "I don't deserve love," recall the people who cared for you, the friends who stood by you, the kindness you've received. There is always evidence that challenges the negative story, you just have to search for it. Third, create a new story to replace the old one. It is not enough to just question the story, you must rewrite it. If the old story is, "I'm not good enough," the new story might be, "I am capable of learning and growing." If the old story is, "I always fail," the new one might be, "I have failed in the past, but I also succeed when I stay consistent." The key is to make the new story real, believable, and grounded in truth. You are not pretending, you are choosing a story that matches the person you are becoming, not the person you once were. When you practice this process daily, you begin to notice a powerful change. The repeated negative stories lose their strength. They still show up from time to time, but instead of believing them instantly, you question them. You separate yourself from them. You see them for what they are, echoes of the past, not predictions of the future. And this is where freedom begins. It is also important to recognize how these stories affect your body. A negative thought is not just mental, it creates physical reactions. If your story is, "I'm not safe," your body tenses, your heart rate increases, and your stomach tightens. If your story is, "I'm not worthy," your posture drops, your energy fades, and your motivation disappears. When you start questioning the story, you interrupt that chain reaction. You stop the thought before it turns into an emotion that controls your body. Now, let's talk about daily practice. Every morning, before you start your day, take 5 minutes to scan your thoughts. Notice if the old stories are already playing. If they are, stop them early. Write them down, and then write the opposite story. This small practice trains your mind to challenge negativity before it grows. During the day, when you notice yourself feeling anxious, trace the feeling back to the story behind it. Once you identify it, you can ask, "Is this story worth believing right now?" Most of the time, the answer will be no. Another practical tool is to talk back to the story out loud. When a thought says, "You can't handle this," answer it with your voice, "Yes, I can handle this, and I will." Speaking it out loud breaks the loop in your head and creates power in your body. It reminds you that you are not a silent victim of your thoughts. You are an active participant who decides what stays and what goes. Be aware that the mind does not like change. When you first start questioning your stories, the negative ones may fight back. They may grow louder, insisting they are true. That is normal. It is not proof that they are correct. It is only proof that they are losing control. Stay with the practice, and you will notice them weaken over time. Understand also that questioning your stories is not about denying your past. It is about refusing to let the past control the present. If you made mistakes, acknowledge them, but don't let them define your identity. If someone hurt you with their words, recognize the pain, but don't let their voice become your lifelong soundtrack. You have the right to tell a new story, one that reflects your strength, resilience, and growth. The most successful people in the world are not free of negative stories. The difference is, they do not believe them. They question them, they challenge them, and they replace them. That is what allows them to act with confidence, even when fear shows up. You can do the same. Imagine how different your life would look if you stopped believing the repeated story that drags you down. Imagine walking into opportunities without the thought that you always fail. Imagine building relationships without the story that you are unworthy. Imagine starting each day with a clear mind instead of replaying yesterday's doubts. That is what happens when you question the story. So the work is simple, but it is not easy. Pay attention. Identify the repeated stories. Question their origin. Challenge them with evidence. Replace them with new ones. Practice this every day until it becomes automatic. The more you do it, the less power the old stories will have. This is not about perfection. Negative thoughts will still appear from time to time. The difference is, you will no longer accept them as truth. You will see them, you will question them, and you will choose better ones. And over time, your mind will begin to serve you instead of sabotage you. This is the quick fix you are looking for, not to eliminate every thought, but to stop living under the control of repeated stories that no longer serve you. Once you master this step, you will feel lighter, freer, and more capable. You will see your past for what it was, a teacher, not a life sentence. You will see yourself as someone who has the power to choose, and that choice, practiced daily, is what leads to a mind that is calm, confident, and unshaken by negativity. That is how you stop negative thoughts forever, by questioning the story your mind keeps repeating, and by refusing to give it the authority it does not deserve.
Chapter 3. Notice how self-criticism destroys your daily confidence. Notice how self-criticism destroys your daily confidence. This is one of the most overlooked reasons people fail to make progress in life. Most people think failure comes from lack of skill, lack of money, or lack of opportunity. But the truth is, many people are stopped long before those challenges even matter. They are stopped by the constant voice inside their own head. That voice criticizes, judges, and tears them down from the moment they wake up until the moment they go to bed. And because they have lived with that voice for so long, they think it is normal. They think it is just who they are. But it is not. That voice is a habit, a learned way of thinking, and it is one of the biggest killers of daily confidence. Confidence is built through action, but it is destroyed through self-criticism. Every time you tell yourself you are not smart enough, you cut down your ability to learn. Every time you tell yourself you are not attractive enough, you lower your presence around other people. Every time you say you will never achieve anything, you shrink your willingness to try. It is not the outside world pulling you down, it is the voice you believe inside. And until you notice it, until you truly become aware of how destructive it is, you will keep walking into each day with less strength than you should have. The problem with self-criticism is not only that it lowers your confidence, but that it does so in small, constant ways. One insult from someone else may sting for a moment, but when you are the one attacking yourself every day, the damage becomes permanent. You may not even realize how much you are lowering your standards by the way you speak to yourself. You wake up and think, "I look terrible today." You try something new and think, "I'll probably fail anyway." You make a mistake and immediately say, "I'm so stupid." Do this for weeks, months, and years, and what do you expect? Your confidence will be gone. Your belief in yourself will be gone. And when confidence leaves, opportunity leaves with it. Notice the way you feel after criticizing yourself. There is no energy. There is no motivation. There is no clarity. You feel small. You feel unworthy. You feel weaker than you did before the thought. That is the trap. Self-criticism disguises itself as honesty, but in reality it is sabotage. People say, "I'm just being realistic." No. Being realistic means assessing the truth and finding a way to improve. Self-criticism is nothing but tearing yourself down with no plan to build back up. It is like knocking down a house and never rebuilding. If you want to stop negative thoughts forever, you must stop feeding this inner critic. And the first step is awareness. Start paying attention to your words. Pay attention to the thoughts you have after you make a mistake. Pay attention to the things you tell yourself when you look in the mirror. Do not let those moments pass unnoticed, because the more you notice them, the more power you have to change them. The second step is separating who you are from what you do. Self-criticism often turns actions into identity. For example, if you forget something, you say, "I'm stupid," instead of, "I made a mistake." If you fail at a task, you say, "I'm a failure," instead of, "That attempt didn't work." Do you see the difference? One destroys your identity, the other corrects your behavior. When you tie your worth to every action, you destroy your confidence. But when you separate the two, you keep your confidence intact while still learning from mistakes. The third step is to replace self-criticism with constructive self-talk. Instead of saying, "I can't do this," say, "I'm learning how to do this." Instead of saying, "I'll never succeed," say, "I'll succeed if I stay consistent." Instead of saying, "I'm not good enough," say, "I'm improving every single day." These statements are not lies, they are reminders that your identity is not fixed and your ability is not limited. When you practice this kind of talk, your confidence begins to rebuild, one thought at a time. Now let's talk about how self-criticism shows up in different parts of life. In work, it makes you hesitate. You think you are not capable, so you hold back from new opportunity. At home, it makes you distant. You think you are not worthy, so you avoid deep connections. In personal growth, it makes you stop before you start. You tell yourself the effort is pointless, so you never even begin. Each of these situations becomes a missed chance to grow, and when you add them together, you can see how a lifetime of self-criticism leads to a lifetime of regret. It is also important to understand where this inner critic came from. Many times, it is not originally your voice. It may be the voice of a parent who always pointed out your flaws, or a teacher who told you you would never succeed, or a friend who mocked you. Over time, you repeated their words to yourself so often that they became your own. But once you realize the source, you can take back ownership. You can say, "That was their opinion, not my truth." By separating their voice from your own, you weaken the critic's hold on your mind. Another powerful exercise is to imagine how you would speak to a friend. If your friend failed, would you tell them they are worthless? If your friend made a mistake, would you call them stupid? Of course not. You would encourage them, remind them of their strengths, and help them improve. So why treat yourself worse than you would treat anyone else? Confidence grows when you give yourself the same kindness and patience you offer to others. You must also recognize the false belief that self-criticism leads to improvement. Many people think being hard on themselves makes them stronger, but in reality, it weakens them. Think about it. If every time you try something new, you immediately attack yourself for not being perfect, how long will you keep trying? Not long. Improvement comes from effort and patience, not from constant punishment. Confidence grows when you give yourself permission to be human, to make mistakes, and to keep moving forward without tearing yourself apart. Daily confidence is fragile. It must be protected. And the fastest way to destroy it is to let self-criticism run wild. You cannot let your mind bully you and expect to live with strength. You cannot attack yourself in private and expect to shine in public. You cannot build a powerful life while carrying a weak opinion of yourself. Confidence must be built every day by choosing your words carefully, by treating your words carefully, by treating yourself with respect, and by noticing when self-criticism tries to sneak in. Practical steps matter here. Start a journal of self-talk. Write down the common criticisms you give yourself. Then next to each one, write a replacement. If your criticism is "I'll never finish anything," write the opposite: "I finish tasks when I stay disciplined." If your criticism is "I'm unattractive," write "I can take care of my body and present myself with pride." This process turns vague feelings into clear thoughts, and clear thoughts can be changed. Also, set daily reminders to speak kindly to yourself. Place a note on your mirror that says "talk to yourself with respect." Put a reminder in your phone that says "build confidence, don't destroy it." These little cues interrupt old habits and build new ones. Another strategy is to measure progress instead of perfection. Self-criticism thrives on impossible standards. You expect yourself to never make mistakes, to always succeed, to never feel weak. But that is not realistic. Measure your growth instead. Did you improve compared to yesterday? Did you take one step forward? Did you show courage in one small way? These are the victories that build confidence and silence self-criticism. The truth is, confidence does not come from outside approval. It comes from the way you speak to yourself every single day. If you fill your mind with judgment, your confidence will vanish. If you fill it with encouragement, your confidence will rise. This is not motivational fluff. It is psychology. The brain responds to repeated input. Whatever message you repeat, it will believe. If you repeat self-criticism, it will believe you are weak. If you repeat encouragement, it will believe you are strong. That is why what you say to yourself matters more than anything else. Take a moment to imagine living one full day without self-criticism. Imagine waking up and not attacking yourself in the mirror. Imagine working without doubting your ability. Imagine ending the day without replaying every mistake. How much lighter would you feel? How much more energy would you have? How much more would you try? That is the life you can build when you decide to stop destroying your confidence. It will not happen overnight, but it will happen with daily practice. Every time you catch yourself criticizing, pause, replace it, redirect it. Refuse to let it continue. At first it may feel strange. You may even resist it, because the habit is so deep. But keep going. Over time you will notice the critic growing quieter and your confidence growing stronger. The difference between people who rise and people who stay stuck is not that one group never doubts themselves. It is that one group refuses to let doubt become constant self-criticism. They notice it, they correct it, and they move forward anyway. You can do the same. And when you do, your daily confidence will no longer be destroyed. It will be built, strengthened, and protected. This is the key. Notice how self-criticism destroys your daily confidence and decide today that you will no longer allow it. Speak to yourself with the respect you deserve. Treat yourself as someone worth building up, not tearing down. Because the truth is, you are.
Chapter 4. Choose to interrupt fear before it controls your actions. Choose to interrupt fear before it controls your actions. That choice will change the entire direction of your life. Fear is one of the strongest forces inside the human mind. It shows up in many forms: fear of failure, fear of judgment, fear of rejection, fear of not being enough. And the truth is, fear itself is not the problem. Everyone feels it. The problem begins when you allow fear to dictate what you do, when you allow it to stop you from trying, when you let it run the show without even questioning it. Most people live in a constant loop of fear-driven decisions. They think they are protecting themselves, but really they are limiting themselves. Think of how often fear has held you back. You wanted to speak up in a meeting, but the thought of being judged made you stay quiet. You wanted to start a project, but the thought of failing made you postpone it. You wanted to ask for an opportunity, but the thought of rejection kept you silent. At the end of the day, it is not the world that blocked you, it was fear that convinced you to sit down instead of stand up. That is why you must learn to interrupt fear the very moment it appears, before it takes control and makes the decision for you. Fear works fast, it does not give you time to reflect. The moment you think about doing something important, fear jumps in with a list of reasons you should not. It tells you that you are not ready, that people will laugh, that you are too weak, that you will fail again, if you do not interrupt it right away. Those thoughts grow louder. They create tension in your body. Your heart races, your breathing shortens, your stomach tightens, and before you know it, you back away from the action you are about to take. This is how fear steals your life one choice at a time. So how do you interrupt fear before it takes over? The first step is awareness. You must learn to recognize the signs early. When fear shows up, it usually comes with a physical signal. Maybe your chest tightens, or your palms sweat, or your mind races. Instead of ignoring these signals, use them as reminders. The moment you feel them, pause and say, "This is fear trying to take over." By naming it, you create space between yourself and the feeling. You are no longer blindly following it, you are observing it. The second step is to ask yourself a direct question. What will happen if I let fear control me right now? Most of the time the answer is simple. You will stay in the same place, you will miss the chance, you will continue to live small. And when you realize that the cost of letting fear win is greater than the cost of trying and failing, you will find the courage to act. Fear only thrives when you exaggerate the danger and ignore the cost of inaction. The third step is to move forward while fear is still present. Too many people wait for fear to disappear before taking action. But waiting is a trap. Fear only disappears after action, not before it. The moment you act, the grip of fear loosens. The moment you take one step, the voice of fear begins to fade. That is why the most important decision is not to eliminate fear, but to act before it takes control. Confidence does not come from avoiding fear. Confidence comes from proving to yourself that fear does not have the final say. Each time you interrupt it and move forward anyway, you build a stronger belief in yourself. That belief grows into courage, and that courage becomes your foundation. Soon you begin to see fear not as a wall but as a signal that you are moving in the right direction. Practical tools can help you in the moment. One is to take control of your breathing. When fear appears, your breathing becomes shallow and fast. Slow it down, inhale deeply, exhale slowly. This simple act calms your body and interrupts the automatic reaction of fear. Another tool is to count down from 5 and move. Do not give fear time to build. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, then act. This breaks the habit of hesitation, which is where fear gains its strength. Another strategy is to focus on what you can control. Fear thrives on uncertainty. It exaggerates everything that could go wrong. But if you bring your mind back to what you can do right now, fear loses its power. For example, instead of worrying about the entire project, focus on finishing the first step. Instead of fearing rejection, focus on delivering your best effort. Instead of fearing failure, focus on learning something useful in the process. When you narrow your focus, fear cannot overwhelm you with endless what-ifs. You must also challenge the lies fear tells. Fear is not always based on truth. It often creates stories far worse than reality. It tells you people will reject you when in fact, many will support you. It tells you failure will ruin you when in fact failure often teaches you. It tells you the pain will last forever when in reality it will pass. When you interrupt these lies with evidence from your own life, fear loses credibility. Think back to times you were afraid but still acted. Did it destroy you? No. You survived, you learned, you grew. That evidence is proof that fear is not a reliable guide. Over time you will notice a pattern. The things you feared the most rarely turned out as bad as you imagined. Most of the pain was in the anticipation, not the reality. This awareness alone can give you the strength to interrupt fear next time it appears. Because you know from experience that the story fear tells is often worse than the truth. Now let's talk about the cost of not interrupting fear. Every time you let it control your actions, you teach yourself to avoid. Avoiding becomes a habit, and soon your world becomes smaller. You stop trying, you stop risking, you stop growing. The opportunities are still out there, but you do not take them, and years later you look back with regret. Regret not because of the things you failed at, but because of the things you never even tried. That is the silent damage fear creates when you don't interrupt it. On the other hand, when you choose to interrupt fear, your world expands. You discover strengths you didn't know you had. You build new skills, meet new people, and experience growth that would have been impossible if you had stayed safe. Each time you interrupt fear, you reclaim a piece of your life that fear once controlled. And eventually fear stops being the enemy. It becomes a sign that you are stepping into new territory. It is also important to surround yourself with people who encourage courage. Fear grows in isolation. When you keep your dreams and struggles to yourself, fear multiplies in your mind. But when you share your goals with people who believe in you, their support interrupts your fear. They remind you of your ability when you forget it. They push you forward when fear tries to pull you back. Choose your environment wisely, because it plays a major role in how often you act with courage. You must also learn to celebrate every time you interrupt fear. Do not wait for huge achievements. Even small victories matter. If you spoke up when you normally would have stayed silent, celebrate it. If you took a small risk when fear said no, celebrate it. These small acts of courage build momentum, and momentum is what transforms fear from a master into a minor obstacle. The truth is, fear never completely disappears. But that is not the goal. The goal is to stop giving it control, to interrupt it when it appears. To act anyway, to build a life based on choice, not fear. The people who succeed are not those who never feel fear, they are the ones who refuse to let fear decide for them, and you have the same power. So the next time fear shows up, pay attention. Notice the signals, interrupt it early, ask yourself what will happen if you let it win. Remind yourself of the cost of inaction. Then take one step, no matter how small. That step will weaken fear, build confidence, and move you closer to the life you want. This is not about pretending fear does not exist. It is about recognizing, interrupting it, and moving forward despite it. That is the choice that separates a life of regret from a life of growth. And that choice is in your hands every single day. Choose to interrupt fear before it controls your actions, and you will find that courage was always available to you. It was only waiting for you to use it.
Chapter 5. Teach your brain to expect good instead of failure. Teach your brain to expect good instead of failure. This single practice can change the entire way you live your life. Most people are trained by habit and past experience to expect the worst. They walk into every opportunity with hesitation, already preparing for disappointment before they even begin. That expectation becomes a self-fulfilling pattern. When your mind is wired to anticipate failure, you act with less energy, less confidence, and less consistency, and the result often matches the expectation. But the same principle works in the opposite direction. When you train your brain to expect good,
You walk into situations with hope, strength, and belief. That belief fuels your effort, and effort fuels results. The way you expect shapes the way you perform, and the way you perform shapes the outcome. Expectation is not fantasy. Expectation is a mental habit. If your mind is used to focusing on what could go wrong, it will always search for problems. If your mind is trained to focus on what could go right, it will search for opportunities. Think about how many times you stopped yourself from trying because you assumed it would not work out. That assumption was not based on truth. It was based on training. Your brain had repeated the story of failure so many times that it believed it before the event even began. The good news is that training works both ways. Just as you trained your brain to expect failure, you can retrain it to expect good. The key is repetition and awareness. You cannot change your brain in one day, but you can shift it over time by deliberately choosing what you focus on, what you say to yourself, and what you believe about the future. The first step is to become aware of your current expectation pattern. Pay attention to your first thought when you face a new challenge. Do you think, this will probably go wrong? Do you immediately imagine mistakes, rejection, or loss? Or do you think, this could go well? Most people have defaulted so long to the negative side that they do not even notice it, but once you catch yourself, you have the power to intervene. The second step is to redirect those thoughts. When you notice yourself expecting failure, stop and ask, what if it goes right? What if I succeed? What if this turns out better than I thought? Even asking these questions shifts your brain from negative autopilot into a state of possibility. And possibility is the soil where confidence grows. The third step is to feed your brain daily examples of good outcomes. If your focus is always on problems, train it to focus on progress. At the end of each day, write down three things that went well. They don't have to be big. Maybe you had a productive hour. Maybe you kept a promise to yourself. Maybe you handled a challenge with patience. These small wins teach your brain that good is happening every day. Over time, your mind begins to expect more of it. Another practice is visualization. Spend a few minutes each morning imagining your day going well. Picture yourself handling challenges with calm. Picture yourself completing tasks. Picture yourself enjoying moments of connection and success. The brain responds to repeated images as if they are real experiences. By showing it pictures of good outcomes, you build a mental library that reshapes your expectation. It is also important to watch your language. Words are signals to the brain. If you constantly say, I'll probably mess this up, your brain prepares for failure. If you say, I'll handle this well, your brain prepares for success. This is not empty talk, it is training. Each statement is like a command to your nervous system. Speak in a way that instructs your brain to expect good. Notice also the people you surround yourself with. If you spend time with people who expect the worst, that mindset will rub off on you. If you are around people who expect growth and progress, their belief will strengthen yours. The environment feeds your brain. Make sure you are feeding it with voices that remind you of what's possible, not voices that drag you into doubt. Now let's look at how expecting failure shapes behavior. When you believe you are going to lose, you hesitate, you take fewer risks, you quit early, and you hold back your best. That creates weaker results, which then confirms your original fear. On the other hand, when you expect good, you act with energy, you invest more effort, you push further, and you stay longer. That creates stronger results, which then reinforces your belief in yourself. The cycle can either work against you or for you, depending on what you train your brain to expect. This does not mean you ignore challenges. Expecting good does not mean pretending life is easy. It means approaching challenges with the belief that you can grow through them, succeed in them, or learn something valuable from them. Failure may still happen, but when your mind is trained to expect good, you treat failure as temporary, not permanent. You see it as part of the process, not the end of the story. That mindset is what keeps you moving forward instead of giving up. Think of a person who always expects failure. They never raise their hand for opportunities. They never speak up. They never chase dreams. Their life becomes smaller and smaller. Now think of a person who expects good. They may fail at times, but they keep showing up. They learn. They grow. They find new doors because they are looking for them. Over time, their life expands. The difference is not in luck, it is in expectation. Training your brain is like training a muscle. Every time you replace a negative expectation with a positive one, you strengthen the new habit. Every time you focus on what could go right, you weaken the old pattern. And just like building muscle, the more consistent you are, the stronger it gets. One powerful exercise is to write a statement of expectation each morning. For example, today I expect to handle challenges with strength. Or today I expect progress in my work. Or today I expect to find reasons to be grateful. By setting the tone, you give your brain instructions for the day. And when your mind drifts back to failure, you can return to your statement as an anchor. It is also helpful to remember that your brain responds to repetition more than intensity. You don't have to convince yourself with one giant moment of belief. You have to repeat small positive expectations over and over until they become natural. That is why daily practice is more effective than occasional bursts of motivation. Notice how your body feels when you expect failure. Your energy drops, your shoulders slump, your movements slow. Now notice how your body feels when you expect good. You sit taller, your energy rises, your focus sharpens. Expectation is not just mental, it is physical. The state of your body reinforces the state of your mind, so carry yourself with the posture of someone who expects good, and your brain will follow the signal. There will be days when your old habit of expecting failure returns. That is normal. Do not criticize yourself for it. Instead, use those moments as practice. Each time you catch the old pattern, replace it with a new one. Every replacement is progress. Every correction is growth. Your future depends on what you train your brain to expect. If you keep expecting failure, your life will feel like a series of confirmations of your fears. But if you expect good, your life will become a series of discoveries, opportunities, and growth. You cannot always control what happens, but you can control the way you meet it, and the way you meet it often shapes the result more than the event itself. Teach your brain to expect good instead of failure, and you will notice changes in your relationships, your work, and your health. You will approach people with openness instead of defensiveness. You will tackle goals with energy instead of hesitation. You will wake up each day with more hope instead of dread. And that shift will not only change how you feel, it will change what you create. The habit of expecting good is not about pretending life is perfect. It is about training yourself to believe that growth, opportunity, and progress are possible for you. It is about refusing to let old failures dictate new chances. It is about giving yourself the mental foundation to act with courage every single day. Once you teach your brain this habit, failure may still show up, but it will not own you. You will keep moving, keep learning, and keep finding ways forward. That is the real victory.
Chapter 6. Break the cycle of comparing yourself to other people. Break the cycle of comparing yourself to other people. If you do not, comparison will quietly drain your confidence, weaken your focus, and rob you of joy each day. Human beings naturally look around and notice others, but the problem begins when that observation turns into constant judgment about where you stand against someone else. You see their success and immediately feel behind. You see their appearance
and immediately feel inadequate. You see their progress and immediately think you are failing. Without realizing it, you train your mind to measure your worth by someone else's life. That is a dangerous trap, because no matter how far you go, there will always be someone who has more, someone who looks better, someone who seems ahead. If you never break the cycle, you will spend your entire life chasing shadows instead of building your own foundation. Comparison feels harmless at first. You scroll through pictures, you hear about someone's achievement, and you think you are just observing. But then the voice in your head begins, "Look at them, and look at you." That thought may seem small, but it plants a seed of doubt, and the more you water it, the more it grows. Soon you are not simply admiring others, you are punishing yourself. You convince yourself that you are less worthy, less capable, less valuable. This is how comparison destroys people from the inside out. The truth is, you cannot compare fairly because you never see the full picture. You see the finished product, not the process. You see the highlight, not the struggle. You see the surface, not the pain underneath. Yet your brain convinces you that their life is the standard, and yours is falling short. That lie becomes a cycle, and once it starts, it is hard to stop, unless you make a conscious decision. Breaking the cycle starts with awareness. Begin to notice when you compare. Notice when you see someone's progress, and immediately put yourself down. Notice when you admire someone's body, or career, or talent, and immediately turn it into a weapon against yourself. Do not ignore it. Call it out. Say to yourself, "That was comparison trying to take my confidence." Awareness creates space between you and the habit. You cannot change what you do not notice. The next step is to redirect your focus. Every moment you spend comparing yourself to others is a moment you are not improving yourself. That is the real cost. You take energy that could build your life and waste it on judging theirs. The way to break the cycle is to turn your attention back to what you can control. Ask yourself, "What is one step I can take today to improve?" That step, no matter how small, will do more for your future than hours of comparison ever will. Another important step is to define your own standards. Most people compare because they have never clearly decided what success means for them. Without your own standard, you will always borrow someone else's. But once you define it, you can measure yourself against your own progress, not against someone else's life. Maybe success for you means being consistent with your health. Maybe it means building financial stability. Maybe it means showing up for your family. Whatever it is, write it down and measure yourself only against that. When you live by your own definition, the achievements of others stop feeling like threats. They become irrelevant to your path. It is also useful to practice gratitude. Gratitude interrupts comparison because it forces you to notice what you already have. When you are grateful, you see your progress instead of only your gaps. You recognize your strengths instead of only your weaknesses. Each morning, take a few minutes to write down what you appreciate about your life, your body, your mind, your opportunities. The more you practice gratitude, the less room comparison has to grow. Be careful with your environment. If you constantly surround yourself with images, conversations, and situations that trigger comparison, you make the cycle harder to break. For example, endless scrolling on social media almost guarantees you will compare. Limiting that habit gives you space to focus on yourself. Choose environments where growth is encouraged, where people share progress honestly, not just perfection. The healthier your environment, the less fuel comparison has to thrive. You should also practice celebrating others without tearing yourself down. This is a difficult skill, but it is powerful. When someone succeeds, acknowledge it. Congratulate them. Celebrate what they accomplished. But remind yourself, their win does not mean your loss. Their path is different from yours. Their timeline is not your timeline. By practicing genuine celebration, you train your mind to see others as inspiration, not as competition. Another strategy is to track your own growth. Keep a record of your achievements, no matter how small. Write down what you've learned, what you've overcome, what you've accomplished. When you start feeling behind, look back at that list. It will remind you how far you've come. Progress is not always obvious day to day, but when you see it written out, you realize you are moving forward. That realization is enough to stop comparison in its track. You must also understand the psychology of comparison. The brain naturally seeks reference points. It wants to know if you are safe, if you are doing well, if you belong. In the past, this helped people survive by fitting into groups. But today, with constant exposure to millions of lives through media, the brain is overloaded. It compares you not just to a small group, but to an endless pool of curated images and stories. That is why comparison feels heavier now than ever before. Recognize that this is not your fault, it is a natural brain response. But also recognize that you are not a slave to it. You can choose to redirect the habit with awareness and practice. Think about what happens when you stop comparing. You free your mind, you free your time, you free your energy. You begin to focus entirely on your own growth. You stop wasting hours worrying about what others are doing, and you start building your own foundation. This shift creates momentum. The more you focus on yourself, the more progress you make. The more progress you make, the less tempted you are to compare. It becomes a new cycle, the cycle of growth instead of the cycle of comparison. Breaking the cycle also requires patience. This habit has been with you for years, maybe decades. It will not disappear in one day. But every time you catch it, challenge it, and replace it, you weaken it. Over time, the comparisons will come less often, and when they do, they will not hit as hard. Instead of believing them, you will dismiss them. That is progress, and progress is the goal. Ask yourself this: what has comparison ever given you? Has it made you happier? Has it made you stronger? Has it made you move forward? The answer is no. It has only made you feel behind, inadequate, and weak. So why give it more of your life? Why give it more of your attention? You owe yourself better. You owe yourself focus, growth, and peace. And you can only have those things when you step out of the comparison trap. The reality is that your life is yours alone. No one else can live it. No one else has your exact combination of strength, experiences, and challenges. Comparing your path to someone else's is like comparing different journeys that start in different places and lead to different destinations. It makes no sense. What makes sense is building your own road, step by step, with your own vision in mind. So the next time you notice yourself comparing, pause. Remind yourself that this habit destroys confidence. Remind yourself that the only person worth comparing to is the version of yourself from yesterday. Then choose to take one small action that improves your own life. That action will do more for your confidence than any comparison ever could. In the end, breaking the cycle of comparison is not about ignoring others. It is about giving yourself permission to focus fully on your own growth. It is about reclaiming the time and energy that comparison has been stealing from you. It is about realizing that your worth has nothing to do with anyone else's progress. It is about finally believing that you are enough as you are, while still working to become better every day. When you live this way, you stop looking sideways and start looking forward. And forward is the only direction that leads to progress.
Chapter 7. Calm your mind by facing one problem at once. Calm your mind by facing one problem at once. This is one of the most powerful ways to stop negative thoughts from taking over your life. The mind can only handle so much at a time, but most people forget this
they carry 10 problems in their head all at once, replaying them over and over, and then wonder why they feel overwhelmed, anxious, and exhausted. Your brain was not built to solve everything at the same moment. It was built to handle one issue clearly, then move to the next. When you force it to carry the weight of many problems at the same time, you create unnecessary suffering. You begin to imagine worst-case scenarios, and instead of finding answers, you lose focus. Think about what happens when you try to solve everything at once. You wake up already thinking about bills, relationships, work, health, and personal goals. Before you even take your first step out of bed, your energy is gone. You are not solving problems, you are drowning in them. You cannot think clearly because your attention is scattered, and the more scattered your attention becomes, the more negative thoughts take control. But if you take one problem at a time, you break that cycle. You give your mind the gift of clarity. You lower the noise, and you create space to think clearly and act effectively. This is not about ignoring problems. It is about organizing them. Imagine you walk into a messy room. Clothes are everywhere. Dishes are stacked. Papers are spread out. If you try to clean the entire mess in one instant, you will feel paralyzed. But if you choose one corner and start there, step by step the room transforms. The same principle works with your mind. Choose one issue. Face it fully. Then move to the next. Slowly but surely, the weight begins to lift. Most people don't realize how much stress comes from trying to juggle too many problems at once. The human brain is not a machine that can run multiple solutions simultaneously. It switches from one task to another, losing energy each time. That switching creates mental fatigue, and fatigue feeds negativity. By focusing on one problem at a time, you protect your energy and allow yourself to move forward with strength instead of panic. So how do you practice this? The first step is to list out your problems, write them down, take them out of your head, and put them on paper. Your mind loves to exaggerate when it tries to hold everything inside. But once you see the problems written out, you realize they are not as endless as they felt. You might have 5 or 10, but they are now visible and separate. This alone brings calmness, because the unknown becomes known. The second step is to prioritize. Not all problems are equal. Some require immediate attention, while others can wait. When you try to give them all the same weight, you create chaos. Decide what needs to be handled first. Put the rest aside for later. This is not avoidance, it is strategy. It gives you permission to focus deeply without feeling guilty about what is waiting. The third step is to fully commit to the problem in front of you. Don't half solve it while thinking about 5 other issues. That only weakens your effort. Give it your full attention. Ask, what is the root of this problem? What steps can I take right now? Even if the problem is large, break it down into smaller parts and handle one piece at a time. With each step completed, you feel progress. Progress reduces stress and builds confidence. Notice what happens to your emotions when you narrow your focus. The mind becomes calmer, your breathing slows, your body relaxes, the panic begins to fade, replaced by determination. This is because clarity restores control. Negative thoughts thrive on confusion and overwhelm, but when you are focused on one problem at a time, negativity has no room to dominate. Another benefit of facing one problem at once is that you begin to build trust with yourself. When you scatter your attention, you rarely finish anything. You live in a cycle of half-done tasks, which lowers your confidence. But when you solve one problem completely, you create proof for yourself that you can handle life. That proof builds momentum, and momentum builds strength. Soon you approach each day knowing that no matter how many problems exist, you will handle them one at a time, and that will be enough. It's important to also practice boundaries with your thoughts. The mind loves to bring in problems from the past and the future all at once. You think about what happened yesterday and what might happen tomorrow, while ignoring the problem you can actually solve today. This habit destroys peace. You must train yourself to stay present. Ask, what is the problem I can take action on right now? Give your full energy there. The rest can wait until their time comes. Let's take a practical example. Imagine you are worried about your finances, your health, and a conflict with a friend. If you try to think about all three at once, your mind spins. You feel paralyzed, and nothing improves. But if you choose to first look at your finances and create a small plan, maybe making a budget or paying one bill, you finish that step. Then when it's time, you move to your health. Perhaps you schedule a checkup or commit to walking for 30 minutes. After that, you address the conflict by writing a message to your friend. In one day, you've made progress on three issues because you faced them one at a time. If you had tried to solve them all in your head at once, you would have ended the day exhausted with nothing complete. Calming your mind this way also improves your relationships. When you are caught in many problems at once, you bring that stress into your interactions. You snap at people, you withdraw, or you appear distracted. But when your mind is calm because you are focusing on one issue at a time, you show up more present, patient, and clear. This strengthens your connections and creates more support around you. Another key point is that solving one problem at once creates better quality solutions. When you are scattered, you make quick, shallow decisions. You choose out of panic instead of clarity. But when you give full focus, you think deeper, explore more options, and choose better actions. That quality leads to long-term improvements instead of temporary fixes. This practice also helps you protect your health. Constant stress from multiple problems creates physical strain. Your sleep suffers, your energy drops, your immune system weakens. But when you discipline your mind to face issues one by one, your body has space to recover. You breathe deeper, you rest better, and you move through life with more balance. A calm mind supports a healthy body. The habit of calming your mind by focusing on one problem at once is not just about handling challenges, it is about building a way of life. Each time you choose clarity over chaos, you reinforce the belief that you can handle whatever comes. You stop letting problems control your emotions and start using your focus to control the problem. This shift transforms not just how you solve issues, but how you feel about yourself every single day. Imagine waking up tomorrow with the confidence that no matter how many issues exist, you will not drown in them. You will choose one, face it, and move forward. That mindset eliminates panic and replaces it with steady progress. That is the power of this practice. It is important to remind yourself daily, I don't have to solve everything right now. That simple reminder takes the pressure off and gives you permission to be human. Life is not about fixing everything in a single day. It is about consistent effort, focused energy, and steady progress. The more you practice this, the more peace you create for yourself, and the more you reduce the grip of negative thought. The people who succeed are not those who never have problems. Everyone has them. The difference is, successful people refuse to be paralyzed by them. They prioritize, focus, and act one step at a time. They calm their minds instead of letting problems multiply endlessly. You can do the same. Calming your mind by facing one problem at once is not just a strategy for today. It is a lifelong discipline. It will carry you through financial struggles, health challenges, relationship conflicts, and career pressure. It will remind you that you don't have to be perfect. You only have to be consistent. It will remind you that no problem is too big when you break it into pieces. And it will remind you that your mind is strongest when it is calm, not when it is overwhelmed. So start practicing today. Notice when you are juggling too many problems in your head. Pause, write them down, pick one, face it fully, then move on to the next. Over time, this will become your natural way of living. And when it does, you will notice your thoughts quieting, your emotions steadying, and your confidence rising.
because a calm mind is a powerful mind, and a powerful mind is what builds a strong life.
Chapter 8. Rewire your focus toward daily wins. You can control. Rewire your focus toward daily wins. You can control. Most people waste an enormous amount of energy on things they cannot influence. They obsess over what others think, worry about the future, and replay past mistakes. That habit drains confidence and builds frustration, because no amount of thinking changes what is outside your control. The quickest way to free yourself from constant negativity is to shift your attention to small daily wins that you can actually create. These wins are not about perfection or dramatic change. They are about progress, real steps that remind you every single day that you are moving forward. The problem with focusing on what you cannot control is that it keeps you stuck. You spend hours worrying about the economy, politics, or what someone else is doing with their life. You argue with reality instead of working with it. That kind of thinking leaves you powerless, because no matter how much energy you give it, nothing changes. The mind needs proof that progress is possible, and the way to provide that proof is to gather small victories that belong to you, victories that no one can take away, because they are fully in your control. The first area of control is your habit. You may not control outcomes, but you can control routines. If you decide to exercise for 20 minutes, that is a win. If you decide to read for half an hour, that is a win. If you decide to organize your workspace, that is a win. These are actions you can complete today, and they give you immediate proof of progress. Each time you achieve one, your brain begins to expect good, not failure. Slowly, you train yourself to see success as a daily practice, not a rare event. Another area of control is your effort. You cannot guarantee results, but you can guarantee the energy you bring. If you show up fully to your work, that is a win. If you listen carefully during a conversation, that is a win. If you give your best in a project, that is a win. By focusing on effort instead of outcome, you protect yourself from discouragement. Even if results take longer than expected, you know you are still stacking victories through consistent effort. One of the most overlooked wins is keeping promises to yourself. Each time you say you will do something and actually do it, you build trust. When you fail to keep those promises, you weaken that trust, and your confidence drops. Start small. If you promise yourself to wake up on time, keep it. If you promise yourself to write one page, keep it. These small acts build a powerful identity. You become someone who does what they say. That identity rewires your brain toward consistency, which is the foundation of long-term confidence. Daily wins also come from managing your reaction. You may not control what happens around you, but you control how you respond. If someone speaks negatively and you remain calm instead of exploding, that is a win. If a challenge shows up and you look for solutions instead of complaints, that is a win. These are victories of discipline and mindset, and they count just as much as external achievements. In fact, they often matter more because they shape your character. To rewire your focus, you must track your wins. The brain is biased toward negativity. It remembers failures and forgets successes. By writing down your wins each day, you give your brain evidence that progress is real. This practice rewires your perspective. Instead of ending the day thinking about what went wrong, you end the day reminded of what went right. Over time, this record becomes a source of motivation. On difficult days, you can look back and see proof that you are not standing still, you are moving forward. Another way to strengthen this practice is to set up your mornings for wins. Begin each day with one small task that you can finish quickly. It might be making your bed, preparing a healthy breakfast, or planning your top three priorities. Starting with a win creates momentum. That momentum carries into bigger tasks, and by the time challenges arrive, you already have proof that you are capable. It is also essential to break big goals into smaller wins. Most people feel defeated because they set huge goals, but never recognize the steps along the way.
If your goal is to write a book, celebrate writing one page. If your goal is to lose weight, celebrate completing one workout. If your goal is to grow a business, celebrate reaching one customer. Each step matters, and each step is a victory. This mindset keeps you engaged and reduces the frustration that comes from waiting for distant results. Focus also means protecting your attention from distractions. Every time you compare yourself to others or waste hours on unproductive activities, you rob yourself of potential wins. Discipline your environment. Limit time on negative news or endless scrolling. Replace it with activities that feed your growth. This shift will not only increase the number of wins you create, but also train your mind to value what truly matters. Rewiring your focus toward daily wins changes your relationship with failure. Instead of seeing one setback as the end, you see it as one moment in a larger pattern of progress. Because you are gathering small victories every day, failure loses its power to define you. You stop saying, "I'm a failure," and start saying, "I had a tough day, but I'm still winning in other areas." That mindset builds resilience, which is what allows you to keep moving when others give up. Consider how this approach changes your emotion. When your focus is scattered on everything beyond your control, you feel anxious and powerless. But when your focus is on daily wins within your control, you feel grounded and capable. This emotional stability reduces stress, sharpens focus, and improves decision-making. A calm, confident mind is the natural result of consistent small victories. The practice of daily wins also changes how you see time. Many people think progress requires giant leaps, but the truth is that progress is built in small steps accumulated over weeks and months. By focusing on today's wins, you stop feeling pressured by the weight of the future. You no longer live in the anxiety of how will I ever get there. Instead, you live in the clarity of what can I do now. This shift reduces overwhelm and creates steady progress. The real challenge is discipline. It is easy to slip back into old habits, worrying about others, focusing on uncontrollable events, or waiting for perfect conditions. But each time you catch yourself and redirect your focus toward what you can control, you strengthen the new pattern. Repetition rewires the brain. With enough repetition, expecting daily wins becomes automatic, and negativity loses its grip. Imagine living a year with this mindset. Every day you collect wins. Some days are bigger, some are smaller, but they all count. At the end of the year, you look back and realize you've stacked hundreds of victories. That evidence changes the way you see yourself. You no longer identify as someone who struggles endlessly. You identify as someone who grows consistently. That identity is what transforms your life permanently. This shift is not reserved for a few. It is available to anyone willing to practice. No matter where you start, you can begin today. Focus on what you can control. Create one win. Write it down. Repeat tomorrow. Keep going. Over time, this practice will become a part of who you are. You will stop chasing approval and start building confidence from within. You will stop drowning in negativity and start creating momentum. Rewiring your focus toward daily wins you can control is the foundation of lasting growth. It builds confidence, reduces anxiety, and strengthens discipline. It reminds you every single day that progress is possible, and when you live with that reminder, negativity no longer dominates your mind. You walk through life with more hope, more strength, and more clarity, knowing that each day you are moving forward in ways that belong entirely to you.
Chapter 9. Cut off the habits that keep your stress alive. Stress does not just appear out of nowhere. Most of the time, it is fueled by the patterns you repeat daily without noticing. The way you think, the way you behave, the way you use your time, and the way you respond to life all create either peace or pressure. Many people believe stress is only caused by external situations like work, money, or relationships, but the truth is, it is often maintained by the choices you make every single day. If you want to stop living under constant pressure, you must identify and cut off the habits that keep stress alive in your mind and body.
One of the strongest habits that fuels stress is overcommitment. People say yes to everything because they are afraid of disappointing others. They overload their schedule until they cannot breathe, then wonder why they feel trapped. Every time you take on more than you can handle, you are adding unnecessary weight. The cure is not always working harder, but learning to say no when your plate is already full. Saying no to excess is saying yes to sanity. You cannot live with calmness if your calendar is running your life instead of you running it. Another habit that keeps stress alive is procrastination. When you delay tasks that need attention, they do not disappear. They sit in the back of your mind, piling up and whispering that you are falling behind. The more you delay, the louder the pressure becomes. You may distract yourself temporarily, but the unfinished work is still waiting. The solution is to act quickly on small tasks and break large tasks into manageable steps. Each completion reduces stress because your brain sees progress instead of a growing mountain. Neglecting your body is also a stress-feeding habit. Skipping sleep, eating poorly, and avoiding movement all make your system weaker. A tired body creates a restless mind. You cannot expect to feel calm when your body is running on empty. Fueling yourself properly is not just about health, it is about mental clarity. Sleep, nutrition, and exercise are not luxuries, they are tools to keep stress levels under control. Another hidden habit that creates stress is constant comparison. When you measure yourself against others, you create pressure that doesn't belong to you. You start competing with timelines, appearances, and achievements that have nothing to do with your own journey. This comparison fuels anxiety, because no matter how much you achieve, there is always someone else doing more. Cutting this habit means bringing your attention back to your own lane. Focus on your growth, not someone else's pace. Many people also keep stress alive by feeding their minds with negativity. Endless news, toxic conversations, and destructive entertainment create mental overload. The brain absorbs everything you consume. If you constantly feed it with stories of chaos, it will reflect chaos back into your thoughts. Protecting your mental diet is as important as protecting your physical diet. Choose inputs that calm you, inspire you, and help you grow. Stress reduces when you stop fueling it with outside poison. Perfectionism is another major source of stress. The habit of needing everything to be flawless keeps you in constant tension. You delay finishing tasks because you are afraid of mistakes. You criticize yourself harshly when results are not perfect. The truth is, perfection does not exist. Progress is what matters. By aiming for excellence instead of perfection, you free yourself from the impossible standard that fuels endless worry. Unclear priorities also create stress. When you try to do everything at once without direction, your energy scatters. You end each day, exhausted yet unfulfilled, because you never focused on what mattered most. A simple habit of setting daily priorities cuts stress dramatically. Choose the top three things that move your life forward and give them your best. Clarity reduces overwhelm and focus turns chaos into calmness. Another habit that quietly builds stress is avoiding difficult conversations. You hold in feelings, avoid conflicts, and keep silent about issues that need addressing. But silence does not resolve anything. It only extends the tension. The more you avoid, the heavier it becomes. Facing conversations directly, with honesty and calmness, clears the air and removes stress from your mind. Unspoken problems create pressure. Solved problems create relief. Many people also allow digital overload to fuel stress. Constant notifications, endless checking of messages, and scrolling through distractions keep your brain overstimulated. You rarely give yourself time to unplug. The mind needs quiet to reset, but most people never allow it. Creating boundaries with technology, like turning off unnecessary notifications or setting limits on screen time, gives your brain space to breathe.
That simple step cuts stress more than most people realize. Holding on to the past is another destructive habit. Regret, guilt, and resentment replay, like old tapes, keeping your mind stuck. You cannot feel calm when you are dragging old stories into the present. Learning to forgive yourself and let go of what cannot be changed is essential. The past cannot be undone, but it can be released. Carrying it only keeps stress alive. Even the way you think day to day can create stress. Catastrophizing, imagining the worst possible outcome in every situation, creates fear where none may exist. Overthinking, replaying the same scenario endlessly, paralyzes action and keeps problems alive longer than necessary. These mental habits drain your peace. The solution is to catch them, question them, and redirect your mind to practical steps you can take now. Cutting off stress habits does not mean you will never face challenges. It means you stop adding unnecessary weight to the load. Life will always bring problems, but your habits decide whether you carry them with calmness or collapse under them. By removing habits that fuel stress, you create space to face challenges with strength and clear thinking. The process begins with awareness. Spend time observing your own patterns. Ask yourself, which of my habits are making life harder than it needs to be? Then commit to replacing one habit at a time. You don't need to fix everything at once. Each habit you cut off reduces pressure and gives you back energy. Imagine your life without these stress-feeding habits. No more overcommitment draining your time. No more procrastination weighing on your mind. No more perfectionism stealing your peace. No more comparison crushing your confidence. No more digital noise overstimulating your brain. Instead, you move through your days with focus, energy, and calmness. You solve problems instead of magnifying them. You respond to life instead of reacting to it. That life is available when you cut off the habits that keep stress alive. This practice requires discipline, but it is worth it. Each time you say no to a destructive habit, you are saying yes to your future peace. Each time you replace stress-feeding behavior with a healthier choice, you prove to yourself that you can take control. Slowly, stress no longer dominates your life. It becomes a passing visitor, not a permanent resident. The truth is, stress will never fully disappear, but it does not need to control you. Most of it is self-made, kept alive by daily choices. When you remove the habits that fuel it, you discover how much calmer and more capable you really are. You start to enjoy your days instead of surviving them. You create a life built on balance instead of burnout. And that change does not require waiting. It begins the moment you choose to cut off what no longer serves you.
Chapter 10. Decide every morning to protect your mental peace. Each day begins with a choice, whether you realize it or not. The first thoughts you entertain, the first actions you take, and the first emotions you allow set the tone for everything that follows. Too many people wake up and hand their peace away before the day has even begun. They reach for their phone, fill their mind with noise, let old worries return, or let other people's demands take control of their mood. Before they step out the door, their mental space is already crowded, their calmness already lost. But you have the power to do it differently. You can choose each morning to protect your mental peace the way you would protect something valuable, because it is valuable. Without it, every challenge feels heavier, every task feels harder, and every relationship feels strained. With it, you can face the same challenges with strength, focus, and clarity. Protecting your peace is not about avoiding life. It is about starting with stability before you face it. Imagine beginning the day already clear, already calm, already grounded. Problems will still come, but they will not shake you as easily. People will still demand your attention, but you will meet them with balance instead of panic. Stress will still appear, but it will not dominate your thoughts. That difference is created in the first hour of your day, when you decide how to prepare your mind. The decision must be intentional. If you wake up and do nothing, the world will decide for you,
Notifications will decide. News will decide. Negative thoughts will decide. But if you wake up and claim the space for yourself, you begin from a position of strength. Protecting peace is like drawing a boundary around your mind, saying, "This is mine, this is how I will start my day." How do you make that decision real? Start with your thought. The moment you wake up, your brain is most open to influence. If you immediately replay old worries, you start the day with negativity. If you choose to remind yourself of your values, your goals, and your worth, you start the day with purpose. A simple thought like, "I will stay calm today no matter what," gives your brain direction. It is not magic, it is training. Your thoughts shape the lens through which you view everything. Begin with thoughts that protect peace instead of destroy it. The next part is your environment. What you allow in first thing in the morning matters. If the first thing you do is scroll through negative news or compare yourself to people online, you are weakening your peace before the day even begins. Replace that with something constructive. Read a page from a book that uplifts you. Write down three things you are grateful for. Sit in silence for a few minutes and breathe deeply. These choices may seem small, but they send a strong signal to your mind. Peace comes first. Your actions also matter. Movement clears stress from the body. A short walk, stretching, or exercise resets your system and prepares your mind. Food fuels your brain, so choose what gives you energy instead of draining it. These are not just physical acts, they are statements. They say, "I value my well-being enough to take care of it before the world asks for my attention." That message protects your peace by showing your mind that you are in charge, not circumstances. Another powerful practice is setting intention. Instead of letting the day unfold randomly, decide in advance how you will show up. For example, "Today I will stay patient in conversations," or "Today I will focus on solutions instead of complaints," or "Today I will keep my mind calm even when challenges appear." These intentions act as guardrails. When the day tries to pull you off track, your mind remembers the choice you made in the morning. It gives you a standard to return to, instead of being tossed around by every situation. Protecting peace also requires boundaries with people. Some individuals bring negativity, drama, or unnecessary stress. You cannot always avoid them, but you can decide how much space they will occupy in your mind. If you start the day with clarity, you are less likely to let their energy control you. You remind yourself, "Their behavior is theirs, my peace is mine." That separation allows you to stay grounded even in the middle of conflict. Another habit that strengthens morning peace is reflection. Take a few minutes to ask yourself what truly matters today. Most of the time, the things that stress us are not the things that matter most. By identifying your priorities early, you avoid wasting energy on distractions. When your mind is focused on what counts, small irritations cannot disturb your peace as easily. The way you speak to yourself each morning is also crucial. Harsh self-talk destroys peace before the day starts. Telling yourself you are already behind, already failing, or already unworthy sets a negative tone. Replace it with empowering language. Remind yourself of your strength, your progress, and your ability to improve. This does not mean ignoring reality. It means choosing words that strengthen instead of weaken. The way you speak to yourself is the atmosphere you create in your own mind. Choose words that create calmness and confidence. The decision to protect peace must be renewed daily. It is not something you do once and forget. Each morning brings new challenges, new demands, and new temptations to lose your calm. That is why the practice must be repeated. It becomes a discipline. Just like you brush your teeth every day, you must guard your peace every day. Over time, it becomes automatic. Your mind expects calmness because you have trained it to start that way. When you make this choice consistently, the benefits ripple through every part of your life. You work with sharper focus because your mind is not scattered. You connect better with people because you are not carrying hidden stress. You make better decisions because your thinking is clear instead of reactive. You feel stronger physically
because your body is not weighed down by constant tension. All of this begins with a simple morning decision. Think about the alternative. Imagine starting every day with chaos, waking up late, rushing without direction, filling your mind with noise, carrying yesterday's worries, reacting to every demand before you even breathe. That is how most people live, and that is why they feel exhausted before the day has truly begun. But you do not have to live that way. You can start with calm, not chaos. You can begin with clarity, not confusion. You can decide each morning that your peace will be your foundation, not your afterthought. The key is consistency. One peaceful morning will not change your life, but many peaceful mornings will. The compound effect of daily calmness builds a stronger mind, a healthier body, and a more stable life. You may not notice the difference after 1 week, but after 1 year, you will see how much stronger and steadier you have become. Protecting your peace is not just about feeling good today, it is about building resilience that carries you through the future. Your peace is your responsibility. No one else can give it to you and no one else can take it away unless you allow it. That is why the decision must be yours. Each morning, you set the standard. You choose the thoughts, the words, the actions, and the focus that create peace. The world will test it, but if you begin with strength, you can hold it. So when you wake up tomorrow, pause before anything else. Remind yourself, my peace comes first. Breathe. Choose what to feed your mind. Choose what to feed your body. Choose the words you will carry into the day. Make these choices deliberately, because they will shape everything that follows. If you guard your peace at the start, you will carry it through the rest of the day. Deciding every morning to protect your mental peace is one of the most powerful commitments you can make to yourself. It transforms how you feel, how you act, and how you live. It gives you strength to face challenges without falling apart, and clarity to see opportunities without being blinded by stress. This is not theory, it is practice. Start each day with peace as your first priority, and you will discover how much calmer, stronger, and more capable your life becomes.